This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's a beautiful morning!
Good morning! Good morning! Ooh. Wake up, mister!
What's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Trash Tuesday, everybody. So let us know who you are trashing or what you're trashing. And we shall read through those and listen to you throughout the hour here on the show. So hit me up on the phones, hit me up on the tweets, and on a Trash Tuesday, we'll get to what is aggravating, what is bugging you. Also this hour, in about 20 minutes, we've got Danny Tarkanian. He is the son of legendary college basketball coach, UNLV rogue, Jerry Tarkanian. We'll talk to Danny about his dad's legacy, his national championship at UNLV, one of the greatest college basketball teams of all time, and March Madness coming up here. We're just, 10 days away from March, which is exciting, which means we've almost made it, which means college hoops is just around the corner. It is delightful. Also coming up in about 40 minutes, advanced analytics on today's poll question. Who is the more annoying character? Is it Flo or is it Pete the Body? Vote by going to Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Vote there, and you could also check it out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Tom Brady and where he shall go, where might he go, is the subject of much conjecture. But how about another veteran quarterback aging, maybe only a couple of years left, changing zip codes? Melvin Gordon thinks that Phillip Rivers will land in Indianapolis. The 38-year-old quarterback has a couple of ties to the Colts organization. Melvin Gordon told CBS Sports, quote, "I think he goes to the Colts. I don't know. It's just my thought." But Gordon brought up the fact that he's got relationships with Nick Sirianni, who is the Colts offensive coordinator and was a previous Chargers assistant coach. He said he's got connections there. They run the same playbook. It'd be easy. He could come right in and he could be telling guys what to do. He knows what's going on already. Melvin Gordon also noted that Frank Reich has a relationship with Phillip Rivers after being the Chargers quarterback coach in 2013 and their offensive coordinator in 14 and 15. Could it happen? Sure it could happen, because what we saw last year was Jacoby Brissett flamed out. Jacoby was fine early in the season, but ultimately you kind of saw what his limitations were. And I think that the Colts were put in a terribly difficult spot because of Andrew Luck's abrupt retirement in the preseason. And Jacoby was a fine solution, but not a great solution. And I think Frank Reich's a really good head coach, and they've got a really good offensive line, and they've got a really good ground game, and they've got a pretty good defense, that getting them into the playoffs is just the matter of a little bit of next-level quarterbacking and a few breaks going their way. The Colts are not far off. The question is Phillip Rivers at 38 years old, coming off arguably his worst statistical season ever, better than Jacoby Brissett? I would argue a definitive maybe. I don't know that. I think Phillip Rivers at his best has clearly been better than Jacoby Brissett. I know that at his peak, Phillip Rivers was a guy you could go to the playoffs with regularly, although winning in the playoffs you could never really quite do. But I know that if we were talking about 32-year-old Phillip Rivers, absolutely slam dunk, you got to do it if you can do it. I'm not so certain Phillip Rivers is much better than Jacoby Brissett at 38 years old. Think about his draft class. Eli Manning has already retired. Ben Roethlisberger's coming off a season-long injury, and Phillip Rivers looked pretty mediocre and really scattershot and very inaccurate and poor decision-maker last year, and had a team that went 12-4 with him the season before. Let's say Jacoby Brissett is a 6. Is Phillip Rivers at 38 years old a 7? Out of 10, I don't know. And I think the funny thing is, this is all altered by Brady and Breeze. Before Brady and Breeze, 38 years old was damn near dead in the NFL. At a quarterback position, 38 years old? That's your last gasp, your one final season. 38 years old was never an effective quarterback year. That was one last contract being paid. And it was more guile and smarts than it was actual arm talent and execution. Now, Brady kind of blew up that timeline because he's 43 years old, and at 38 years old, he's winning a Super Bowl. At 39 years old, he's in Super Bowls. At 40 years old, he's in Super Bowls. So that kind of blew up what we know. And Drew Brees at 40 years old has still been very effective. But I'm not certain. I'd have to really work out Phillip Rivers. I'd have to really look at him and ask the question, is he better than what we have? Because you're going to have to pay Phillip Rivers more than you pay Jacoby Brissett. And Rivers is not a long-term solution. He's a 1 or 2 year solution. I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say that Phillip Rivers does not have more than 2 seasons left in that body. At 40 years old, that's it. He's got 2 more years. I know that Brady has played longer than that. I don't think Phillip Rivers plays longer than that. So if I'm the Colts, do I go all in on Rivers for 2 seasons? You could probably convince me that for 1 year, I'm going to get better quarterbacking out of him than Jacoby Brissett. But I'm not going to get better quarterbacking out of him for 2 or more years. So I'm not certain what my price tag honestly would be there. The name is good. The resume is good. I'm not sure the reality is very good, Merez. I'm not sure he's better than Jacoby Brissett.
You know, it's really shocking to me how short I believe our memory spans are on NFL seasons. Yeah, the Chargers banged up and had a lot of injuries. One of the biggest problems with the Chargers this year was that Phillip Rivers fell off a cliff from the 11-5 year the year before and looked every bit his age. Now, maybe that's because they have, you know, 20 of their own fans in their building every week, so they don't have their own fan outcry going on right now. And maybe it's because the Chargers weren't in our face a lot on national TV. But Phillip Rivers stunk in 2019.
Bad.
He was bad. And it's okay that he was bad because he is his age. He's gotten older. You just saw Eli Manning retire. Ben Roethlisberger got hurt early in the year. And you know what? Who knows what he's going to look like next year? It's coming to this point in time for these guys' career. There's a reason the Chargers are moving into a new building and are basically saying, we don't care what Phillip Rivers is. We don't even want to pay him to come open up this building and sell tickets or any of that. Phillip Rivers' time has come and gone in this league. He has. Now, am I the biggest Jacoby Brissett fan in the world? Did Indy get blindsided last year by the Andrew Luck injury, or maybe they had a ready-made team and a ready-made offensive line, and they need to do everything they can to try to capitalize on the assets they have now? I guess I understand it. I understand the Colts going after Phillip Rivers more than I understand the Raiders from a football perspective going after Tom Brady. I get that. But.
So you think Rivers is better than Brady right now?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Derek Carr in the Raiders is a better situation than Jacoby Brissett is with the Colts.
Okay.
So I understand the Colts wanting an upgrade and maybe, and I understand from that perspective, but I think is buyer beware. Phillip Rivers might be better than Jacoby Brissett. Might be. I still think he fell off a cliff, and I probably would take Brissett. But if you think you're signing him to whatever dollars you're doing it for 2 years, I think you might regret this by week six in a major way, and you are being short-sighted and not understanding what Phillip Rivers is now.
Now, Frank Reich and having guys that have been on the staff and familiar with Rivers might be a perfect landing spot for him. Maybe they'll know his strengths and weaknesses can work alongside what he cannot do anymore. But I think the dirty little secret is that Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers changing teams this year, they're big names. They might not be good quarterbacks anymore.
Right. They like, are both whoever, bottom of the league 15 quarterbacks now.
Whoever signs these two guys, you think Brady is still bottom 15?
Yes, I do. I do. I really do believe that. And people go, oh, it's blasphemy. They're Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. It is not about what they've done their whole career. It is about what they will be in 2020 and what they were in 2019. Those guys are all name, not enough action, all talk based on name recognition.
I don't know if I would say that Tom Brady's bottom 15. I still think he's probably top 15 in the NFL, although who knows? I mean, at 43 years old, all bets are off.
Right.
He might drop dramatically. If I was just going from week 17 of this year, I don't know if I would say he's a bottom 15 quarterback.
Now, the other argument you could have about that, about bottom 15 and all of this with Rivers and Brady, and if you're the Colts and you're the Raiders and we're making at least, and this is going to go against what I said because I think I'd rather have Rivers right now, at least with the Raiders and Brady, you can lean on the fact that Tom Brady in the big game has gotten you there, and maybe you believe if he doesn't have the arm strength, he doesn't have the ability, he could gut you away and find a way to mentally win that game at the line of scrimmage in a big game if you get there.
And there's going to be three big throws he has to make, like the Super
right.
Bowl, and he's going to make those three throws
right.
even if the rest of his game is garbage.
Right. If the rest of your team is great and Tom Brady's there, you maybe have that Tom Brady is not going to ruin things for you in the big game. Now, he didn't beat the Dolphins in week 17 this year, but what does Phillip Rivers have in his career to tell you that as he's gotten older, you can lean on anything he's done from his career in a big spot?
The only thing is that he has 4 years younger on him. That's it.
Right. I get that.
That is the only thing that Phillip Rivers has over Brady in the free agent market.
I get that, but Brady's been a freak with his age. So the 4 years younger doesn't make it seem like, wow, he's that much younger than Tom Brady. Rivers is still really old right now, but in the big spot in Phillip Rivers' career,
bad.
I don't want to hear about playing on the torn ACL and all of that. How many times has he had a chance when you get your hopes up on really good Charger teams? Look how many Hall of Famers Phillip Rivers has played with, and he spits the bit in the big spot. So I can't even count on Rivers, even if you're investing in this team, to get there with the Colts, knowing he's getting older, knowing he's only going to get worse, to know, you know what? Well, at least when we get to the big game, I could trust Phillip Rivers is going to find a way to make those three throws. He wasn't doing it in his prime, so why am I going to trust it now?
Look, Phillip Rivers, at his absolute best this year on the Colts, is 11-5. And they win the AFC South, they have a home playoff game, and maybe they win a game in the playoffs. So that's kind of their absolute best ceiling because the Colts are a really good football team around Rivers if everybody is healthy. But Phillip Rivers, AFC divisional round in Kansas City, inevitably on 3rd and 10, throws an absolute back-breaking interception into double coverage that ends that run. There's no question in my mind with less arm talent or strength than he has had in years past at 38 years old, on the road, in the playoffs, cold weather. There is not a doubt in my mind how Phillip Rivers' season ends with the Colts next year.
I totally agree. And look, there's probably no way for the Elias Sports Bureau or Pro Football Focus or whoever deep analytics, now analytics are a big topic on our show here, can get into this. But I would venture to guess over the last 12 years, no quarterback has ruined more people's bets by finally believing in him in a big game when you're betting on it than Phillip Rivers. There's no way. Every time you buy in, guy spits the bit.
The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. Devon Dotson taking over last night for the third-ranked Kansas Jayhawks. 91-71 win at home against Iowa State. Sophomore guard, 29 points. 6 of 8 from beyond the arc. The player of the week sponsored by Grainger, delivering the products that keep your facility running. What Grainger does best, they've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need. Whenever you need it, Grainger for the ones who get it done. Phil is next up in Tulsa on a Trash Tuesday, listening on radio.com. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, DA. Permission to board the mothership?
Granted.
First off, I've got 2 points. One is, yes, I agree with you guys completely. It is time for Philip Rivers to retire. That quarterback class, listen, it's 3 all-time greats. It's Eli, it's Ben, all 3 great guys. I mean, 2 of them are going to probably be in the Hall of Fame. But it's time. It's time for all 3 of them to just hang it up. We can't all be Tom Brady. Second point, though, is I want to talk about my Trash Tuesday, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So, you guys, like, with your Sun 2 News earlier this morning, you guys were talking about peacocks, like, you know, peacocks taking over the state of Florida, it sounds like. But I can tell you personally, so my middle school had a nice little courtyard in it, and someone came up with a brilliant idea of putting a few peacocks and peahens in it to, like, you know, for the students to kind of take care of.
Okay.
Worst decision ever.
Really?
You don't understand how disgusting these birds are, okay? You don't understand how terrible smelling. They defecate everywhere. They made the courtyard smell terrible. I mean, god-awful. And the other thing about it was, yeah, the peacocks kind of looked nice, but you barely saw them. Instead, you saw the peahens. Those things would look more attractive if you plucked them, cut off their heads, put them in the oven, and then cooked them up for dinner. Okay, that's the only way you could make something like you can only make those. You can make that.
Okay, all right, trash peacocks.
Beep beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Stunned to a news earlier this morning took us to Coconut Grove in Florida, where a roving band of wild peacocks, who knew that they could breed on their own outside of captivity, are just causing mayhem because they're defecating all over the place. They're scratching up cars when they see their reflection in the cars and start fighting it and are just eating everybody's plants. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, guys, peacocks combined with those wild hogs that certain people adopt and keep as pets makes Miami wild as bleep. Could you imagine having a peacock and a feral hog in Florida? Jeff tweets, I'm in South Carolina. Several neighborhoods down here overrun with peacocks around me. Who knew? Michael tweets, bro, I'm trashing peacocks. We had a band of about 7 running around my neighborhood. They suck hard.
Illegal dumping.
I had no idea they look so beautiful and tame. And yet here they are. Bandits. An aggressive pack of peacocks ruining everything, apparently. But I don't want to eat a peacock. I don't want to put that in the oven. That doesn't feel like anything I want to eat. Hemsky tweets in, are we sure that Gina isn't Hurricane Jen? Hashtag Twitter affairs. Wally tweets, DA, I'm trashing myself, taking a vacation day. I forgot to turn off my alarm clock. What a dope.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Here is a vote for Mraz. Aaron tweets, I listened to the PGP last night. I have to say, Mraz came off really well in defending himself. His argument was solid. Well done, man. Here's a vote against Mraz. William tweets, in a self-admitted crap producer ripping into listeners because we have the audacity to call out a clown behind the glass. That's rich. Take that bag to the dumpster. Hashtag writing this while burning a heater. Hashtag get them out.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
When we return, Danny Tarkanian, son of iconic head coach Jerry Tarkanian, the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I have a big wiener in my hand.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can listen to us on the CBS Sports Radio Network. You can also check us out using Sirius XM Channel 206. Listen to us on radio.com as well as the CBS Sports app. Or stream us using Apple Music or watchda.com. Our next guest is a former star at UNLV. He was also the school's first Rhodes Scholar candidate ever. He once helped lead his team to 24 straight wins at UNLV, and he has written the book about his dad, A Rebel with a Cause, the true story of Jerry Tarkanian. Joining us this morning, son of Jerry, Danny Tarkanian, here on the show. Danny, good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on. But I don't think I was a star. In fact, I know I wasn't. The stars were the New York City players that we had that I got a great opportunity to play with. I played with Cindy Green the year that we won the 24 in a row and were ranked number one in the country. And then after that, Richie Adams. So we had two great players from New York that helped us have our success.
Your dad was able to build a powerhouse, a machine at UNLV when that program was on life support when he took it over in the early 70s. For 20 years, they were one of the best teams in college basketball, and Las Vegas just seemed to be perfect for him. Was his personality always naturally a Vegas type of style, or did he grow into that persona by being at UNLV?
Well, I think he loved that type of persona and atmosphere, and I don't think he was like that before he got to UNLV, but that's one of the reasons why he went there and embraced it. He loved to go out and be with people. He was a great people person, and that's what I try to put in the book. He was able to relate with the inner-city African-American kids that were dominating college basketball, but at the same time with college coaches and then also with the really wealthy boosters that were supporting the program. He just had a great ability to adapt to who he was with.
He battled the NCAA for decades, really. More than a decade, he was at odds with the NCAA over, you know, how players were rewarded or compensated. At his core, what did your dad think about the structure, the institution that was the NCAA?
Well, my father was the only coach ever, and I don't think there's even been somebody since him, that outwardly spoke out about the injustices of the NCAA's and not only the regulations and the enforcement of the regulations. The regulations by the NCAA were first adopted in the mid-50s, and they were adopted for white middle-class kids that were playing sports at the time. But in the 60s, the poor inner-city black kids took over basketball and football, and those rules didn't apply. In fact, the NCAA rules are very, very racist. They don't allow these kids the opportunity to go to college and live like other fellow students. They make them live basically in poverty, or you have to break the rules. And my father had the courage to stand up and say, "Hey, I'm going to break these rules. They're not fair to the African American kids. In fact, I believe they're very racist in how they deal with them." He never broke the real big rules like paying players large sums of money or buying them cars and stuff. But he certainly provided food to them when they needed it. If they needed some money to get home for a funeral or different types of things, rules that just didn't make sense. And the NCAA didn't like that. My father stood up and talked very poorly about them and their rules as early as his third year at Long Beach State, and when he wrote these two articles, and that got the NCAA after him. He had 15 years of official investigations going on during his 29-year career. So it wasn't just a 32-year career. It was amazing how official NCAA investigations.
Jerry Tarkanian's son, Danny Tarkanian, joining us this morning on the show. So when you claim racism, that's a big meatball to throw out there. Tell me why the NCAA, the system, is racist instead of just maybe hurting anybody who's poor, not white, black, or any other race.
It certainly does hurt anybody that's poor, but the poor players that are playing, the vast majority are African American. Why should a player who's making millions of dollars for the university be able to live like a fellow college student that's there, that whose parents are better well off? Maybe racism is targeting just African Americans, but they're the ones that are dominating and have dominated basketball for 50, 60 years now. The fact that a college kid, I'll give you a perfect example. We recruit a kid, Richie Adams, from the Bronx in New York, or from Fort Apache, New York. How does he get out to New York to go to school? I mean, to Las Vegas to go to school. The NCAA rules prohibit the school from paying for his way to get out there. How's Richie going to pay? He lived in one of the worst housing projects in Fort Apache. There's no way he can get out there. Somebody has to pay his way there. And this is happening all over the country in college basketball. Every coach does the same thing. They find a way to get the money funneled over to him so he can get out to school. Why shouldn't he? Then he gets to school. How did he pay for his first apartment or even the dorms, get the utilities turned on, first month security rent? The scholarship check only pays for what the actual rent would be. Then if he wants to go out to a party or take a girl out on a date, he can't do that. In fact, the NCAA took away their laundry money, so they couldn't even pay for their own for laundry. I believe, and my father had always argue this, is we should not pay the players large sums of money to go to school. It is a privilege to play college basketball, and you get so much out of it, the free education and so forth. But you should also allow these kids to live as a fellow student lives. You shouldn't put them in poverty. And that's what has happened with the NCAA rules. Now, they're changing that now. As you saw just recently, two or three years ago, they're allowing some schools to who can afford it to give more of a scholarship money to the kids. Oh, and the other thing about their rules was when my father was coaching, if a kid qualified for a Pell Grant, which most of these kids come up from the inner city housing projects, the NCAA used to deduct the amount that the kids received from a Pell Grant from their scholarship check. Now, why in the world would you do that? The kids are already so poor they qualify for it, and they need that money, and the NCAA would take it. And you know, they used it for a lot of that money for their own benefit. They have a private plane. They have millions of dollars in real estate holdings. They stay at five-star hotels, but they make the kids give back the Pell Grants. It's horrible.
Your dad's 1990 national championship team is one of the greatest teams ever assembled, one of the most talented teams ever assembled. Larry Johnson, Anderson Hunt, Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony, all on that team. And you have some great anecdotes about that run to a national championship, the first in UNLV history. And one of them was that in the Final Four against Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech's mascot ran around the court waving play money at the UNLV players. I need to hear more about this. I can't imagine a day and age now where a mascot in a tournament game would be throwing money at the players on the opposing team.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. And one of the reasons why I wrote the book was to clarify some of the misconceptions that they had, misperceptions they had about the UNLV program and the players. Those kids that are on that team were the nicest kids. They were very, very successful. In fact, the New York people know what a great guy Larry Johnson is, and Greg Anthony, who played there. Coach Krzyzewski said that they were the nicest kids he'd ever met, but the media tarnished them and made them look like they were a bunch of thugs and that they were outlaws and criminals, and because of my dad's battles with the NCAA that they were bought and paid for. So it wasn't just Georgia Tech game. There was places all around the country that they would do different things like that and treat them that way. But this team was so tough mentally that before the game, I think it was a Georgia Tech game, they got in the huddle, and when they were yelling thugs and hoodlums at them, they got in the huddle and said, 1, 2, 3, let's go, thugs. And they went out there and beat the crap out of them. And it was really a great tribute to their character.
Under the heat of the NCAA microscope, after winning the national championship and then losing to Duke in the Final Four the following year, and then having a final year at UNLV, your dad finally had to step away and leave. Do you think if he was still there at UNLV through the 90s, they could have continued that type of success going to Final Fours?
Oh, yeah, they would have had even more success than they had had previously, and I know that says a lot because the last three teams were like 97-6 and went in three Final Fours in 4 years. But and I don't say that just because I'm the son and so forth. But this is who they had already committed and was coming to UNLV. They had Ed O'Bannon, Sean Tarver, and Charles O'Bannon. All three of them led the UCLA to the national championship 2 years later. They had Jason Kidd commit as a sophomore to come to UNLV, and he took Cal to their greatest teams ever. They had a chance to get Jalen Rose, who went to the same high school as Anderson Hunt. You put him on the team. For the first time in my father's career, he was going to get the top players in the country year in and year out. Larry Johnson was a top player. We got him out of junior college, but my father really didn't have those top-notch players. My father got the second best, like the guys that were 20th to 40th best players, and that had a chip on their shoulders. But at the end of his career at UNLV, he was going to get the best. And the other thing that I didn't even realize growing up as a son, but he was fired or forced out at UNLV when he was only 59 years old, just turned 60. You got coaches coached until the mid-80s now. If you had given him 20 more years, I think they would have won another 4 or 5 national championships with the type of players they were bringing in.
Finally, your dad was at battle, at war with the NCAA for a long time and, you know, fought with media speculation and what he thought was unfair coverage. Did your dad 5 years ago when he passed away, was he a happy guy or did he feel like it was a long toil, a lot of road of toil because of all the battles he had had.
Yeah, I think he was very sad and depressed for many years after his him leaving UNLV. And even when he got the job at Fresno State, he didn't have that same enthusiasm and push that he had. I think he felt beat up, but he enjoyed coaching so much that I don't think it lingered too long with him. But when he left Fresno in the 2002 season, you can see that his health just deteriorated because he lost what he really loved the most. So even though he went through all those battles, to answer your question, I think he thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was the only thing professionally that made him very happy.
Jerry Tarkanian's son, Danny, has written a really cool book about his tenure at UNLV, even before that at Long Beach. It is called Rebel with a Cause, The True Story of Jerry Tarkanian, available all places books are sold. Danny, this was a really interesting conversation. Thanks so much for doing it, and good luck with the book.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Danny Tarkanian joining us this morning here on the show, saying that his dad would have won 4 or 5 national championships, more national championships had he stayed at UNLV. That seems like a pretty big boast, although if you're getting the O'Bannon brothers and Jason Kidd coming down your pipeline over the next couple of years in the 90s, you know, that makes for a couple banners that could have been hung. Standing by with your headlines is our friend Brad Heller, the dessert coordinator. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, D.A. Danny Hamlin, a guest on the show last hour. His second straight Daytona 500 win has been overshadowed by the terrifying wreck at the finish line involving Ryan Newman.
When we found out as a race team, it definitely changed the mood in victory lane at that point. So we didn't know until we got into victory lane what all was going on. So kind of flying blind there for a little while. But luckily, we got some good news, obviously, from the hospital last night.
And Newman suffered non-life-threatening injuries. He is in serious condition. Hamlin beat Ryan Blaney in a photo finish, the second closest finish in Daytona 500 history, the third time he's won the race in the last 5 years. Baseball 3-time AL MVP Mike Trout took his swing at the Astros.
You know, it's tough. You know, they cheated. And, you know, just I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven, thing.
And Trout says guys' careers have been affected and players have lost respect for the Astros. Well, Dodgers infielder Justin Turner took aim at the commissioner, calling Rob Manfred out and calling him out of touch for not punishing players. Red Sox DH J.D. Martinez, well, he took a different point of view. He understands all the player frustration, but
in my opinion, I think it's already getting a little bit too much. It's like we have to move past it at some point. You know, we just can't continue to talk about it. I know it's fresh right now if we want to talk about it, this and that.
And the 2018 Red Sox, which Martinez was a member of, are still under investigation, by the way.
Right.
For sign stealing.
An interesting anecdote there.
So don't go too hard on them. Oh, by the way, we might be one of them.
Yeah, until we know if we got off scot-free.
Exactly. The Red Sox, by the way, also reportedly close to a deal with catcher Jonathan Lucroy. College basketball, 11 straight wins for Kansas. The Jayhawks blew out Iowa State, 91-71. Next up, for Kansas, will be number one Baylor on the road Saturday. North Carolina's lost 6 in a row. The Tar Heels blew a 15-point second-half lead, falling to Notre Dame 77-76. The Tar Heels last in the ACC at 3-12. NBA news, the Cavs are reportedly discussing the possibility of parting ways with head coach John Beilein in the middle of his first season. NHL, 11 straight wins for the Lightning, a franchise record. They beat the Avalanche in overtime 4-3, the goal scored by Nikita Kucherov. No goals for Alex Ovechkin, now in 5 straight games, still stuck on 698 for his career. The Golden Knights beat the Capitals 3-2. DA?
Thank you, Brad. When we come back, we've got advanced analytics here on the show. Inside today's poll question, who's the more annoying character, Flo or Pete the Body? Plus, we've got your trashes as well on a Trash Tuesday at 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS, and your epic fail, The Da Show, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
And our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Our poll question today after my trash was Flo from the insurance commercials. Who is the more annoying character? Is it Flo or is it Pete the Body Bilotti? Pete is out this week. I didn't really ever think that Pete was annoying, but Mraz wanted to put it up there because Pete took some shots at Mraz last week when he was on vacation. On Twitter, 70% say it's Flo as more annoying than Pete the Body. On Facebook, it was a little bit more even. 63% on Facebook thought that Flo was more annoying than Pete. By the way, your advanced analytics tells us that the character debuted in 2008. We've now had 12 years of Flo. 12 years we can't get back.
You know what? She hasn't aged a second.
That's true.
Flo looks exactly the same as she did 12 years ago then.
Good point. Portrayed by a woman named Stephanie Courtney, an L.A. actress trained in improv comedy.
I'm not a big improv guy.
I think those people are super, super talented, but Flo is annoying as all get out.
Yeah, I would never pay to see Flo do improv in L.A.
Let's rank the insurance mascots. You have Flo. You have the gecko. You have the emu.
We have the general.
You have the general. You have the actor that does the farmer's insurance.
Right. Jake from State Farm.
Is that the agent? Is that
the guy with the cap wearing khaki pants. He comes up in a lot of stuff.
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, the Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers agent.
He's only in this one.
Jake, I don't care.
Okay.
Well,
by all means.
And then the farmer's insurance.
Right.
We are farmers.
Isn't that...
Well, there's State Farm and there's farmers.
Right.
But... Bum, 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 bum.
Right. Accident forgiveness.
Oh, then there's Dennis Haybert.
That's Allstate.
That's Allstate.
Allstate, right.
Although Allstate could also be the guy who wreaks havoc. I can't think of his name.
Mayhem.
Mayhem's also Allstate?
I think so. Yeah, right. Mayhem's a good one. We should also remind you, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico.
Okay, the worst on this list is definitely Aaron Rodgers' agent, right? There's nothing worse than that. Oh, I can't stand this guy.
Meanwhile, your whole trash was around Flo, and now you've gone to this guy.
Because that agent has only been around for one football season or two football seasons. Flo's been around for 12 freaking years.
Yeah, I mean, boy, how are you going to feel about me in another five?
He's my last place. I would say Mayhem's my number one. The gecko's not annoying either. The gecko's fine.
Honestly, my favorite's the general. He's a cartoon.
The general
rides with Shaq.
Yeah, the general's fun.
I like the general. Not a lot of high budget in that commercial.
Which makes me worried about the insurance product.
For sure. For sure. But you know what? The general, come to the general, have some fun.
I worry about the animation budget, and then I worry about what my coverage is.
Look, they definitely don't have anybody from Pixar over there making the commercial. There's no question.
That ain't Toy Story 5 or the general.
But when Shaq sits next to the general, how do you not love that guy?
All right, that is your advanced analytics for the show. On Twitter, on a Trash Tuesday, Pete tweets, is this the Pete the Body? Trashing all the CBS Sports personalities interviewing for Mraz's position last week. The interviews were all A, trash Mraz, then B, imitate Mraz. Get your own personality, guys.
Overflowing landfill.
Not wrong.
Cosmo tweets, DA, I believe Mraz is making efforts to improve his work ethic. The SAT was probably the best thing that you could have done for him. As an educator / coach, I am always looking for student improvement markers. The score should serve as motivation to excel. We have not even
11-10.
We have not even delved into the regrading of the SAT from 11-10 to an 880. And I will not bring this up right now because there's just so much more that still has to come of that. But that is still a topic of discussion here on the DA show that's been tabled for the moment. Ed tweets, I'm trashing the state of Florida. Every stun to a news is from the state. Hashtag, what the hell is going on out there?
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
The answer is everything, Ed. Everything is happening there. Kyle tweets, I'm trashing baseball commissioner Rob Manfred for calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal. What an idiot. Hashtag smelly rubbish.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Kosciuszko tweets, I'm trashing Mother Nature, fluctuating temperatures ravaging the country. A water pipe burst in my home, flooding my basement. Thankfully, the damage was minimal. If the water had been salt water, I imagine the damage would have been even worse.
That's a dumpster dive.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. A caller suggested a new version of the podcast, and this made Mraz's head explode.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
But I do have an idea for the show, and this would help with what you're requesting, DA, and getting Mraz to do more work. 4 hours is great. It's a lot of content, and I appreciate the DA show. Even on my hour commute each way, I still don't have a chance to always listen to all 4 hours.
The DAW.
So it'd be great if Mraz could put together, like, the best of show, like, hour and a half podcast.
Good morning.
Okay, Sam, trash me. And Mraz just slammed down his pen and started rubbing his face because he knows what just happened. That Alex in San Antonio just created an idea, put a light bulb in my head for more work for Mraz.
Oh,
dude.
Again, I'm going to say I'm all for more work. I'm not going to fight it, so if that's what needs to be done, I will do it because I have to put a brave face on and do it.
It was the coaches!
But, here comes the but. We, at the early stage of the show, did this. We did a best of show, and it became evident from listeners that they wanted access to all 4 hours and not just us selecting, because what we may feel is the best of the DA show, others may not.
The worst experience I ever did!
His initial reaction was, oh God, no.
Absolutely.
Why would
right.
you do this? Don't do this to me.
You're right.
That is just not your purview.
You're right. That should not have been my reaction.
You did everything. You did your heart. You did everything right.
I am going to try to bite my tongue and bite my lip. I think if you had come to me with that idea, I my reaction would have been different. I think it's the idea of a listener creating more work for me that sticks in my craw more than the idea itself.
Excuse me.
You know,
I disagree.
Like,
I think if I brought that idea, you'd say the same thing.
Behind your back, but I definitely wouldn't have that reaction
okay,
to your face.
Okay.
Not to your face.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Kyle tweets, DA, I'm trashing you for not responding to my tweet about your opinion on Cali Little League's banning the Astros name. Here's your chance. Hashtag, I have a big wiener in my hand. Kyle, I just want this on record, okay? I apologize that I can't get to everybody's tweets every show. I really do. This is not me being sarcastic. I wish on Trash Tuesday I could get to everybody's trashes. I wish on Target Demo Friday I could get to everybody's Target Demo. I just can't. I don't have the time in the show because we got to weave in a lot of other stuff. But I read everything. I would say I read 99% of all my tweets, Facebook messages, etc. I just might not be able to get to it and respond to it. So I apologize for that. That's on me. I think it's great. I think California Little League's not allowing Astros as a Little League team name is great. I like this revolt. I really like this baseball revolt against the Astros. It makes me feel like at least people care a little bit about integrity of sport, which makes me feel better. We've all been kind of worn down to our nubs about caring about maybe there's too much to care about so that people don't care enough. I don't know. But yeah, I like this. So I applaud it. But fear not. I read everything. I just can't get to everything. Travis in Houston, no love for the Aflac duck. It's true. We forgot about the duck. Aflac. I like the Aflac duck.
And he's as traditional as the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
All right, that will do it for us this morning here on The DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The DA Show. Thanks to Sammy Rubes, Sam Rubinoff, on the wheels of steel today and technically slipping into the role of audio director.
Whoa.
Pete will not be happy with that. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Brad Heller, dessert coordinator and your headline anchor. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm DA and the Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.